Oh, wait, say that again. John Theobald was chairman of the English Department of State.
Yeah, and he has, we have two or three of his books over there, poetry. He's a very good poet indeed, and reads poetry, anybody's poetry, including his own, about as well as anybody you've ever heard. He's slipped a little bit, you know, he's not been too well lately. Mm-hmm. But he learned to debate at Oxford, I think, in his undergraduate, where he's standing like this.
That's a rule. I don't know about the standing. I could do that, but I can't debate.
But his memory is fantastic. We know them very well. They're going to go with us on this picnic Monday. But he's got a, he can't memorize anymore, but it's all stored. He can, you know, quote stuff that he's memorized. It's still stored back in there.
That's great. That's great. When was he at State, do you know? I know
you
I can
look
that up,
book.
Too.
He retired about before I did. I've been retired 11 years. I think maybe 14 years retired. Uh-huh. And he's 85 or something like that, maybe more.
He's a little older. A bit older.
He really is quite famous. When you're at his house, people will call him, you know, from all over, talking with him about poetry and such.
I've never been to his house before. I just know Jillian because she worked with my husband when used to work at the fine arts store together.
Oh, yeah, I see. Did your husband work there?
Yes, he did.
The one at State or the Puffery?
No, the one up at up in Kearny Mesa, that fine arts store up there. This is before Jillian took over and went at State several years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you too
much
longer.
Oh, you're not keeping me. I'm keeping you.
I do want to ask you about your work with the department. I know you served as chair, but I don't know when.
Oh, well, I don't have that. I can look it up. I'll give you a sheet that may have that on it.
Was it more than one time that you served as chair?
No, I could have. They've asked me to stay longer, but I didn't want to.
You didn't? Did you enjoy it?
I did. I did enjoy it. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was a member of the Senate. One of the charter members of this Senate campus.
Uh-huh. Which was established in the early 60s.
I was on the Senate for, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 8 years, something like that.
What
faculty Senate.
What projects did you work on? What things stand out in your mind as being important that you worked
on? Well, in those days,
Senate?
the administration outnumbered the faculty, but they were nice. They didn't outvote us or anything. We didn't have any rough harangues. But I think the Senate was very important to San Diego State, although there's differences of opinion. I think some of the presidents didn't like it. I'm not sure which ones, but Love did.
Love would see it as being a tool for making it more of a university than a college.
Yeah, Love approved of the Senate, but I'm not so sure that Heppner did. And the Senate may not have even happened when Heppner was there, but certainly was there when Golding was president.
When Golding was there. It used to be the faculty meetings, I think.
Yeah, they used to have
the Senate.
Yeah, general faculty meetings. And they were kind of interesting because some of the faculty would make them such. With things they'd say.
Really?
Yeah.
What, can you remember? Can you recall anything in particular?
Steinmetz was the biggest thorn. You know, Harry?
Yeah.
You know him.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was very critical, Heppner especially. He'd say, he'd stand up there and, how much longer are we going to have to listen to this? You know, he had tenure. Frank Johnson and he was always witty in the English department. You know, Jack Adams, those two had quite a bit of humor in whatever they would say, and they'd bring a laugh from everybody.
Adams is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I have recordings of him speaking earlier years ago. Boy.
He gave the best address to graduation that I ever attended at State.
Is that right?
We were required, you know, in the old days, except Kennedy. John Kennedy.
That's a hard act.
He apparently just gave that address right off the cuff. It was stunning. I sat in the front row and was very impressed with him. Then he flew out to an aircraft carrier and gave another speech. It was a smash, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But Adams was
what Adam said was very meaty and very strong in philosophy. So right on.
Yes, he's an excellent speaker. I'm going to be interviewing him again on Tuesday.
Yeah.
He's an incredible fellow.
He gave this the prime speech for Dean Ewing's memorial.
Which I missed. We do have on tape, though.
I was kind of the organizer of that.
Excuse me, no, I don't have that one on tape.
Well, there is a tape on it. Denny Ewing has it. My son made the tape.
Really?
So Denny has it. You could write Denny and ask for a copy. Eve
I would
could
like
give
that.
You his I've, address.
I was on vacation then?
Yeah. Anyway, Adams was, we have a wonderful memorial talk with a lot of humor that set the tone, so it wasn't a sad occasion. His spirit lives on, I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he really made an audience laugh good when he said that he was president of the ACLU and fought for human rights and liked all animals, and he kept building up. He had loved dogs and he loved birds, but he hated gophers. Everybody laughed. And he did too. He tried. I knew Sid pretty well. We traded. He and I built him a music system way back. In fact, those speakers are his.
Really?
He traded them in on some other stuff. Well, two of them are his. And CDs don't wear out, so you can trade them with friends. And so they're nice that way.
Our friends were trying to talk us into getting a CD player. We still haven't done it.
They're not. They're very wonderful,
nice.
Really. Let's see. Are you recording?
Yeah, since this is being recorded, this probably won't be transcribed.
But
it is being recorded.
The nice thing about it is it'll do all kinds of fancy things. You can play one when the piece is over, or you can skip. You can program it to play them in funny little sequences. And it tells you what, the printout, what movement it is. And it won't give you the movement, but it gives you the, like if there are 10 pieces, it'll tell you which one of the 10 is playing.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm so lazy, though. I just put the music on and it goes.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about setting up anything special. I wanted to ask you about San Diego State's art department in relation to the draw from Los Angeles. Did you find a lot of students from San Diego kind of going directly up there instead of staying in San Diego to get their art degree? Or after UCSD came along, did you find that problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. We sent a few to the MFA programs, to the Cal Fine Arts, the Disney-funded thing. Well, about one or two, when I was there on campus, went up there, but not very many.
You went up there? You
no.
went up to Cal Fine Arts, you
no,
said?
No, I went to
Claremont
Graduate
yes.
School. That's very good faculty in those days, and still is. It's not big, but it's very, very good caliber. Jill Theobald, I think she got her boyfriend was UCLA, I think, oriented. And he got her into galleries in Los Angeles that helped her to get established. And
mm-hmm.
get,
wasn't going to ask
$2,000-$3,000 for a painting.
But yeah, I wasn't going to ask you about that, but that's a good point. Did you find that you had to help your students along individually to get them established and going here in San Diego, which, according to a lot of people,
when I was there, we were working on an MFA, but we didn't have it yet. And so that I think I had something like 33, I was chairman of 33 MAs, 30 unit ones.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those students became faculty in mostly community colleges, local, and other places. And we were funding a lot of, you could say it was bad, but it was good too. Because there were still so many at Palomar that I could go up there and they'd give me a big thing. I went up there one time, and the professor stopped his class and he said, "This is my mentor."
And all the students, I hope, knew what that meant. They didn't.
Well, we were proud to really, and still are, I think, to get students in any top flight school, and we work hard to get recommends for them to go there.
Mm-hmm. What was the caliber of the student when you were just beginning your teaching at State? Was it as high then as it is
no,
now?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think they...
they took art for fun.
No, they didn't take it for fun particularly, but I don't think that all the students were as dedicated, were under such competition and pressure then as they are now. Now, there was a lot of students would have time to play cards on the campus, for example, mm-hmm. and or lag pennies and stuff like that. You'd mm-hmm. see that going on. They weren't. They didn't have to fight to stay in a class because there were plenty of, seemed to be, no, very few classes closed in those days.
There was plenty of room.
Yeah.
The department wasn't packed either.
There wasn't plenty, but Patty Patterson, for example, could never say no, so she'd end up with 47 or something in her class.
That brings up an interesting point, how the old art building really was outgrown very quickly.
Yeah, oh yes.
When yeah. And evidently classes were being taught in the life sciences and natural sciences buildings.
Especially art history.
Art history, okay.
I don't think the lab classes were.
I was wondering.
Uh-huh, no.
So when justification or request for a new art building went into the chancellor's office in 62 or 63,
yeah.
When was the old building really outgrown? Was it outgrown by 1950?
Oh, it was.
Let me see. Yeah, I think so, about in there. And we had a long wait before we got our building finally. So it was passed over, and then there were no funds given by the Department of Finance.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Doesn't affect our
budget. And finally, when they did fund the building, they didn't have anything for equipment. Nothing for equipment. We had to improvise and move all of our old stuff in.
They never did come up with the money for the
equipment. Yeah, they did. They did, but it took about 3 years before we started. 3 years after the building was finished, before the equipment looked any decent at all.
Mm-hmm. When did you move into the building? I thought it wasn't open until after you had retired, but I might be.
Yeah, it opened a year after.
Yeah.
I never did teach in the new building.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been. I retired in 76. So. They moved into the building in 77.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot to do with the planning of that? Did the faculty members?
Just the sculpture area, and which included furniture design room and the sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
We were, John Rogers and I worked that out just the way we wanted it.
Good. And they took your suggestions?
Yeah. We had a... Hi, Ruthie.
Community colleges?
Yeah, like Grossmont College had photo lab ceramics. They had three great big kilns. And we almost had to build ours ourselves.
Yeah.
But I must say that the state architect that we worked with is the same at Hutton Selman, and Paul, you worked with him on the theater building too. And he tried his very best. I think our main liaison was Paul Lindgren.
Mm-hmm.
He was the liaison between the faculty and the architect.
Mm-hmm. And
but each faculty member really put down what they wanted, and they got it, except for equipment. And then the administration realized that we were in a bad way, and they tried to give us some from some other things so that we could get along.
You think that maybe one of the reasons why you didn't have the money for the equipment was because the building was so horribly expensive because the site it was built on?
I don't think that was it. It could be, but they did have to drill holes and put concrete pylons down to keep it from slipping. But no, I don't think so. I think that that the kitty in Sacramento just dropped off at a bad time, and there just wasn't any funds for equipment. But the building probably was expensive, all right. And I don't know whether it ran over or not.
It was, if I'm remembering correctly here, and oftentimes I'm not, I think it's over $5 million. It was over $5 million.
Yeah.
Just for the building.
For the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's not bad these days. Of course, long ago, it costs a lot more than that now.
Yeah, especially with that kind of difficult site. You mentioned to me, I want to talk more about the campus, the facility itself. You mentioned to me something about a duck pond and the quad many, many years ago. Would you run that story by me again?
Yes, when I first went out there in 1932, there was no lawn south of the bell tower, uh-huh. north of the bell tower, that quad was a muck mud hole after the first rain. There was a little pond there of some size. And some kids brought in a rowboat and put it, old rowboat, and set it in there. And I don't ever remember seeing any ducks on it, but there might very well have been some tame ones.
It put some sign in the boat saying, boat rental 50 cents.
they did put a sign, boat for rent or something.
Have been any other unusual features of the campus that nobody really knows about, that's not recorded on photo?
Better turn that off, because nothing's coming very fast. Rattlesnakes, of course.
Do you know if there are any close calls of the rattlesnakes? He was bitten.
I know Ilse Rocco had one come in her room down there. She had the bottom room. And she chopped it up with a hoe.
Not afraid of it at all.
They now you don't kill them. You put them in. I don't know. You take them out in the country and let them go. Yes.
Well, a lot of people probably would still kill them. Yeah. I think, unfortunately. You know, it just occurred to me that. An oversight of mine not asking you about this was the statue of Monty.
The what?
The statue of Monty, Montezuma,
yeah.
Donald Horde's work.
Yeah.
Did you work with him?
A class. Donald Horde was invited to teach by Everett 1 year, and he could have taught longer if he wanted, but he didn't want to. He said teaching, to quote, that teaching absorbed his creativity, and if he gave it off to him to his students, he felt that it hampered his work. Yeah, we had a class, he taught two classes, one each semester in sculpture, and I have them from him. He is a very nice man, very nice. And he had a life drawing class at his studio. Some of us would go and draw.
Mm-hmm. Where was the studio?
From Crown Point, I think that's where it was. Might even been on the campus, I don't know. But it was, just by invitation, it's a few students. He was very good at life drawing, drew very well.
Yeah. Was that attitude of his about not liking teaching because he felt it took away from his creative abilities, did that rub off in the way he taught his students? Or did he hide that?
I've got a sculpture up there I made in his class in my studio. It's a lemur, a little thing about that high. Was in a guild show long ago.
Huh.
There's a picture in the paper even long ago. Anyway, he's a very interesting man. Everett Jackson had camped with him, and he would get out on a mountain and just go up. He just could climb, walk right up a steep hill without stopping, clear to the top. The interesting thing, he would die of heart, I guess, early.
Heart failure. That's right, didn't he? I thought he had health problems.
I don't know.
Throughout his
Maybe.
Life.
He sure didn't hamper him out in the field.
Hmm.
Anyway, we had this sculpture, which was done on WPA, Work Progress, and it needed a base, so the fellow who worked with Donald Horde named George Baker and invented Olsonite, the material, the corrugated stuff. George Baker.
He
was president of the Art Guild, and he and I and some others
raise money for the base for Monty.
Right.
It costs, I don't know, $300-$400 for that block of granite, which is a lot
that's
more
now.
And we've had a dance in the gym. We decorated it up.
Yeah. So I don't think the gym ever looked so nice. It was the old Peterson gym that the women have, I think. We put streamers, so it made a Maya temple out of it, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the beach with plaster of Paris and burlap and made big masks about that size, which we hung, you know, in wet sand.
How neat.
Hung them all around the
wow,
wall.
That's great. Of the Aztec.
Yeah, uh-huh. They were pretty well done masks. We used their, you know, based somewhat on authentic ones.
Uh-huh. Whatever happened to those? Did they end up in the art department somewhere and they disappeared eventually?
Yeah. People took them home and they probably didn't last because they're not very thick.
Fragile.
I just broke them.
Plaster of Paris, so I'll do that.
But the burlap, they look really scraps, you know, going to stiffen it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a dandy. I'm thinking they had special lighting effects, whether they had candles or something. But it was very dramatic.
Was it written up in the Daily Aztec or the Aztec at
must
that time?
Have been. No,
maybe
must
I can
have been.
Find an article
yeah.
about it. And
yeah.
Uh-huh. That would be interesting to learn more about.
I think Frank Losey's band played for it.
Frank Losey. Tell me about Frank Losey. He wrote the school
yeah.
fight song.
He wrote the fight song.
Uh-huh.
He's a very successful dentist in up near San Francisco. I saw him when he came down. He came down to a meeting of the planning committee for the alumni program. I was on that last year, and he and I had a little get-together because, as I say, we've made models together.
Mm-hmm.
Played.
You've known each other for a while.
He burned me up, though, at that alumni thing because they organized our band director, got a whole bunch of old time people who could play old time band like they did in those days. It's a lot different than now.
And they practiced and everything. And they told Frank Losey that he had 10 minutes or 5 minutes to tell about his history. But he proceeded to talk about 25 minutes, all about all the little detail that nobody would give a damn about. And here those musicians only played once while we came in. We never did get to hear them play. And it was all the work they went to, and he dominated.
And
he was really stupid, you know.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to
he was carried,
make sure that
carried away with being honored.
If I remember correctly, I think that he gave, he's the one that donated to University Archives a little scrapbook that he put together
yeah,
of his
uh-huh.
band days.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's
yeah.
deep. I'd be
he
interested to know
that.
If he's got any other information he would like to pass along to us. The fight song. It's not the alma mater.
I don't like the fight song very well.
I don't know how it goes.
Is that on there?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I think there, of course, you can't match some of the good ones like Anchors Away, and some of the East Coast universities have some real good ones.
Oh, yeah. The school
but it could be rewritten, maybe.
I don't know if there's the school spirit there that's needed for something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to get all the questions in that I want to ask you, and I keep coming up with more in my mind that
yeah.
I want to ask you.
Well,
so maybe I could give you a call. We
sure.
could talk for a half an hour before Tuesday lunch.
Don't feel that you're. If you can stay, I can. Right now.
I do have to be somewhere.
What else could you possibly ask?
Well, I just wanted to. I don't know. I was wondering if you had anything you could add to sort of recreate what it was like on that campus during the 40s and the 50s before
what I was
incredible
a student.
Growth.
When
yeah.
I was
what
a student.
Was it you know, when you were a student as compared to when you were faculty?
Yeah, well, the gym, the field house was about where the Aztec Center is, somewhere in there.
What's the field house?
Well, there was a field house where the football players and all the track, all the athletes put on their uniform duds to participate,
uh-huh.
and they had wooden bleachers and a track.
I've seen
there.
Aerial pictures of that.
That
area.
Was pre-Aztec Bowl days. I know they they use reclaimed sewer water for watering the grass. We didn't know that, so we were out there taking a shower in it, and we later found that.
A friend of mine who is a groundskeeper out there right now has always been interested in the history of the planning of the campus, of the grounds there, and he discovered that.
Well, I'll tell you something that is weird, and that is there was no budget for landscaping. And the plumbers, when they didn't have to fix pipes, were supposed to water plants. And there weren't many plumbers, so they a lot of trees that were planted just died.
They weren't done correctly. What kind of plants did they originally try to put in?
You put these trees and things like, you know,
mostly eucalypts,
shrubs and bushes. And it's only in the last 10 or 15 years that the campus began to look good and the trees got up.
Whose idea was it to plant all those flame trees along the entryway?
I don't know.
Entryway?
I think the Senate had something to do with it. I remember.
I think what's enough?
We were discussing. But the Senate had a say in it.
Do you know if they were a donation? Somebody said to me that they might have been a donation to the university.
I couldn't say about that. So they're sort of overrated tree. They're beautiful, but they're... they grow huge.
They're nice when they're in bloom.
Yeah.
But when they're not in bloom, they're kind of funny looking.
I think the ones I had seen in bloom, I think I voted for it, really, at the time. But I think they have been moved. You know, they were put in pots and they're abused. They were just in big things like this, and you know, they finally got them in the ground, and they probably pruned them wrong. I don't know. Anyway, they are
a little haphazard.
They're varying in size because of treatment.
Uh-huh. How about some of the other landscaping out there? I know that in one of the quads next to the main old quad there are some beautiful African flame trees. Not flame trees, but there's...
There was a quad right behind the staff center.
That one there.
That one had beautiful magnolia trees in it. And the stupid plumbers came in there and dug trenches all around to put in a spray system and just cut the roots. Mm. And then the trees just started, entered into a decline. And I think only one or two of them recovered partially, and they were just gorgeous magnolia trees.
That's too bad.
That's
nice. That's too bad. They do still have a couple there.
Yeah.
A couple of magnolias.
They survived.
Yeah. How about some of the other landscaping on campus? I've noticed that there are some very individual little courtyards there where it looks like some people took some personal interest in planting their poinsettias or their orchids or their banana trees. Did the art department have anything like that?
The art department had a tree for Patty Patterson, which was dug up when they built the new building. You know, when the old building sloped off.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's nice that they're giving, naming sycamore trees after faculty members and staff now. So Ned Joy got one last year, and this year we had